For members only. Golf Smarter number 458, published on October 14, 2014, is brought to you by Harry's. For guys like us who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what we're paying now, go to harrys.com. Get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code GOLFSMARTER when you check out.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Important tips for amateurs. Part one with head professional Stephen Snyder.
This is Golf Smarter.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Steve.
Hello, Fred.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Good.
I'm so glad that you joined me here in the studio today. We've known each other for a long time. Our kids played Little League together before the baseball strike. That was pre-94. We've known each other a long time. Yeah. But we've never discussed golf in all these years. And I've always been, I didn't even know that's what you did at the time. I didn't start playing until like 96 or something, 98. So, yeah. I am so excited to have this conversation with you finally.
Thanks for having me. I'm going to enjoy it.
Well, great. Great. So let's talk about, first of all, Indian Valley Golf Course. How long have you been there? What do you do?
I've been there about 11 and a half years. I'm the PGA head golf professional. I work some hours in the golf shop every day. I merchandise the golf shop. I do all the inventory of clubs and clothing and things for the members and for the public. And I teach in the afternoons. I organize our junior golf program for the summer. And everything that a head golf professional would do working for a Indian Valley Corporation.
Okay. It's interesting because I think that most people have this idea that, ooh, it would be great to be a golf pro because then I can just play golf and give lessons. No.
No.
It's much more than that.
No, and we have a very, very active men's and ladies club. And I try to play with the men's club once a week. I don't make that happen, but I try to play with the men's club once a week. And they encourage us to play, all the golf professional staff. But once a week is about what I do.
Really? Do you miss it?
Do
you
miss playing? Yeah, I do. But it's my business.
It's work.
I'm not in the business of playing golf. I'm in the business of golf. So I do all the different things around the playing part of it. And I think I have, I've been a PGA member since 1980.
Hmm.
So I think I have a pretty good knowledge of the operation of the golf industry and enjoy all facets of it.
Right. When you're studying to be a golf professional, a teaching professional, do they also teach you like business? I mean, it's like you're going to have to run a pro shop. Here are the things you need to know.
Yeah, they do.
They
and
do.
I think you learn a lot of it through the School of Hard Knocks. But
yeah,
the PGA has an education program that takes about 4 years or 5 years to go through, depending on how long you stretch it out. And they teach you everything from owning your own golf shop, an open-to-buy program, turf grass maintenance, golf cart operations and golf cart mechanics. You know, they give you a little introduction on all the different parts and then expect you to gain the rest of it through working knowledge.
The hard knocks.
Mm-hmm.
What's the biggest surprise for you?
The biggest surprise with the golf industry?
Yeah. Since you've been doing it, and when you came out of school or stuff, it's like, whoa, I didn't expect that.
Well, I think, like everybody, I mean, we get into the golf business because we like to play golf.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the biggest surprise is you don't play as much golf as you would like to or think that you should. Right. Because you're too busy, and by the time you've worked your 8-hour day or 9-hour day, who wants to go out and play 9 holes?
Right.
We do it, but it's a little harder to motivate yourself to play golf under those circumstances.
I can't. Every teacher I've ever had a conversation with doesn't play as much golf as they'd love to. And when people ask me, oh, I love to play golf. I would love to be a teacher. And it's like, well, those are two real different things.
They are.
Being a teacher is one thing. Being a golf instructor it adds to that. But if you love to play golf, you may not want to get into the golf business because you're going to get burned out. You're going to start hating it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that they get in and they get out shortly after.
Really?
And they get into a regular job and they end up playing more golf than when they were in the golf business. Mm-hmm. You obviously lose some of the perks of being able to play your golf course, but you probably play more golf when you're not in the business.
Yeah, you probably do. Probably do. So Indian Valley is a course that I've talked about many times on the show because it is my home course. I live next to a golf course that I don't play that much, but it's only, you know, a 10-minute, 12-minute drive for me to get there. And it's a challenging course. It's a fun course. It's a great walk. And a lot of people probably don't do it. What is it, like 7.5 miles or something?
It's a pretty good size walk.
And there's only one level hole. In my head, there's only one level hole on the course. Right? Everything is you're hitting. You're
a lot of ups and downs.
Lots of ups and downs. Lots of ups and downs. And that's one of the things I want to go over is how to play those shots. How to take advantage of a course that is far from level. I mean, the greens are fair. They're quick. And you got to play your shots, but it's not an easy walk. It's a great walk.
It's a great walk. A lot of people, older people, younger people do like to walk the golf course. So the front nine is a little easier walk than the back nine. The back nine gets a little bit more up and down the hills once you get to 14,
right?
14 through 17. But it's a good challenge. It's not overly long distance wise. Even from the championship tees, it's about 6,350 yards, so not horribly long. But you have a lot of uphill, downhill, side hill lies to some small greens and then to some big greens. So you have a good variation of shots that you're going to play. So it tests you.
Yep, and there's a lot of blind shots to greens. You know, it's always good to have course knowledge of what you're doing, but you don't always see where you're going. You can see the flag tip. But that ends up being it.
Yeah, there's a number of shots where you're hitting up to a green or you're hitting over a little bit of a rise. So, yeah, you're going to have some blind shots. Not a lot of blind shots, but some.
Mm-hmm. And also, that back nine, it can get pretty windy on that, too.
15, 16.
Yep. But there is one of the greatest features of any golf course, definitely in the county, but that I've ever seen, is you have an elevator that goes between
13 and 14.
Mm-hmm. What's the history of that? How did that happen?
Well, the boss likes to say Jeff McAndrew is the general manager and Jeff Sr. is the director of golf. And they like to say it's a family business.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
They like to say anybody that would build a golf course that has an elevator has got to be an idiot. But the elevator's been there and been redone and remodeled several times, and it's basically a tram ride for the walkers to get them from the 13th green to the 14th tee, and it's a beautiful ride. I mean, I've done it a couple of times just to take the ride up there, and you have a view of Stafford Lake, and you have a view of about 5 or 6 holes on the golf course. So, and it helps a little bit with the speed of play, and obviously cart riders ride the cart path up, but the walkers can jump in that tram ride and get a ride up to the next tee.
Last time I played, when I had my really spectacular round, after I came back from vacation, and we got matched up with these two brothers, middle-aged, big boys, big, like large. These guys had to take the cart. These are not walking guys, right?
Huh?
Their cart, I had to push their cart.
Oh, no.
I had to use my cart to push their cart up that hill because they were going, this thing's running out of steam. It's like, no, you're kind of weighting it down. It made it a little tough. You mentioned Stafford Lake, which is pretty much the water source for Marin County. It's looking really sad right now. What is Indian Valley? And we've talked about this, about other courses. Pasatiempo did a show recently with the Presidio and their efforts during our drought. What do you do? What is Indian Valley doing to deal with the drought right now?
Well, Indian Valley actually is on Water District property. So the owners of the golf course don't own actually the property, but we do get our water to irrigate from Stafford Lake. They've asked us to cut back 20 to 25%, which we've done. So a lot of the perimeter areas that normally would get irrigated this year did not get irrigated. And you'll see some areas where some of the questionable grasses have burned out, but the basic golf course has stayed in great shape all year, tee to green.
Yeah, it really is. So that's the strategy here, is just to avoid the outside areas.
Eliminate all the perimeters that you don't need to water. The area from tee to green on a par three, you don't see those getting watered at all. Mm. And they have gotten watered in the past. So we've cut back as much as we can and as much as they've asked us to. And we're all keeping our fingers crossed for this winter.
Right. I'm really hoping for some lousy weather here.
We'd like to sell some rain gear.
Yeah, you've got a lot of back...
Umbrellas and rain gear we'd like to sell this year.
You've got a lot in the back room that you haven't been able to get rid of for at least the last three years.
We do. Yeah, we've got plenty.
Oh, man. That's a shame. One of the other features that I just love about your golf course, and I had this idea one day, it's like, you know, I have to walk my dog every morning. Why don't I just take her with me on a golf course? So I Googled dog-friendly golf courses, thinking I'd never even heard of such a thing. And just that weekend, there was an article about two courses in Marin, Indian Valley and San Geronimo, that are dog-friendly. How did that come about, and what does that mean?
You know what? I don't even know how it's come about. It's a great feature, and we have a lot of people that take advantage of bringing their dog up, some on a leash and some just on command, that are well behaved. And we haven't had any problems from the dogs or from customers saying that I don't like to play when people have their dogs. Or it's just a great feature, and we all love our dogs.
Right.
So a little bit more quality time and a little exercise for the pooch. And I know quite a few of them by name that come up on a regular basis, the owner and the dog. So we have a lot of fun with it.
It's amazing. And, you know, some people just put the dog in the cart and drive in the cart.
Some do.
Mm-hmm. I thought, no, I'm just going to bring her with me, and I'll keep the leash on her and let her drag it. And then if I need to grab her, I will. You know, if a skunk runs across the fairway or something, or a deer and she wants to go after it.
We do have some wildlife, yeah.
Yeah, you do. Uh-huh. Some beautiful wildlife out there. It's great because you're pretty isolated.
We are.
Which is really nice in West Marin. And there's no houses on the course at all.
The closest house, I guess, would be left of three fairway. There's a couple of homes back on ranches, but they're not right on the golf course.
No, so there's a lot of room between that house and the fence.
There is,
you're right. There is that house, two houses over on number three fairway,
right,
which is a par five, and you spend more time looking for your ball than you notice. The only thing you would notice is if their horse comes up to you and wants to say hello when you're walking by the fence looking for your ball.
The horse is pretty well trained. He comes over when he sees somebody bringing him an apple or a carrot, and that happens quite a bit.
Sure, sure. When I did, the first time I brought my dog out to the course, my friends that I was playing with that day, they were like, really? You brought your dog? And I'm like, yeah, it's a dog-friendly course. I'm going to just give it a shot. Well, by the end of the round, they were thanking me for having the dog out there, because it calmed everybody down. Whenever they got like frustrated or angry, upset, they'd go over and pet the dog and their whole attitude would change.
Dog therapy.
It's amazing what canine therapy can do to your golf game.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
So you've never had, I mean, hopefully each person that does this is a good dog citizen and they'll clean up after their dog, because you would hate to find, you know, your ball in a pile of poop, right?
Yeah, we don't have any problems with that.
No.
Zero.
I brought bags with me, and she, you know, one time, okay, fine, just put it in the trash in the next hole. No one's going to care.
Yeah.
Right?
No, the dogs are fine. The dogs are so well behaved, probably more behaved than some of the players from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah, I never had a dog bark at the time that I was on a backswing.
Not talking in your backswing.
I could tell you how many times each round that where I'll be in a backswing and I'll hear somebody who's probably missed a putt. You can hear them from another. Okay, calm down, guys.
They'll let you know.
Yeah, exactly. Is there anything that you guys treat the ground with that we should be concerned that our dog might be sniffing and licking around? And is there any chemicals or anything that keep your course so green that I'd be worried about?
No, we're pretty restricted by the water district because we are on water district property.
Oh, that's interesting.
That there are a lot of chemicals that we cannot use. Uh-huh. So, no, we're very animal friendly.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a, I don't know why more courses don't even consider it. Have you heard of other courses that are have had trouble with it or even courses that do it?
No.
Other than the two here in this county?
No, I have not.
Really?
No.
It's bring it up.
Yeah, it's a fun feature.
Yeah, well, when I say bring it up, I mean like at an upcoming PGA professionals meeting, you guys have regular meetings and conferences and things. What are the struggles that everyone's discussing these days as far as, you know, we're all losing business left and right. How do we get them back?
Well, we got to a point where we overbuilt. So there were too many golf courses and too many options and play was just going through the roof.
Which was a great thing.
Nobody saw a decline happening and all of a sudden the economy hits and people either have a budget for time or for dollars and they can't play as much golf.
Right.
So...
Well, and you also have the Tiger factor. You have somebody who's not as charismatic, who's leading the tour and making headlines of people going, oh, I want to do that. There's really, I mean, Rory's a great player, but he doesn't have the charisma.
Doesn't have the same charisma as Tiger Woods.
Or the press appeal of a Tiger. And I'm talking about press appeal even before Tiger's mishaps. He's still, the press loved him, right? And that's going to generate a lot of business for the industry.
Well, I think we're looking at areas where we can expand the golfer base. Everybody has now an email list, a base of emails that you can send out specials and invitations and promotions that you might have from time to time to try to expand on who you're advertising to. I think the inevitable thing is that there are going to be some golf courses that close, and that does happen. But we're trying to go from the positive standpoint of how do we get a few more people to play golf. And a couple of years ago, it was trying to get the people that play six times a year to play 12 times.
And that's what it is.
And those kind of things. And expanding the junior population and expanding the ladies population so that you get a few more players that way. And we're working at it.
Do you have a sense of the average customer at Indian Valley, how many times a year they play? At your course? Because, like, I'm one of the members, when you're lesser members, but I recently did a check because my son was asking me, and of the last 13 rounds that I had played, I played 11 different courses in Marin, Sonoma, and San Francisco. So I don't always go to Indian Valley. It's my go-to, but I play a lot of courses. So do you have any sense of how often?
Well, we have an annual membership
with
about 225 or so, either single members or family members. Mm-hmm. And they play more golf, obviously, than the general public plays. I think the average family member probably plays 2 to 3 times a week. Then the one extreme would be we have one member that played 308 rounds last year.
Wow.
They weren't all at Indian Valley, but he posted 308 rounds of golf. That's a lot of golf.
That's a lot of golf. Well, that's the beauty of living on the West Coast when you can play 12 months a year.
Yeah, and we had a year where the weather was more conducive to playing. We didn't have much rain, so he played golf.
I have a listener who I actually just did a show with because he's a physical therapist as well and is a certified TPI instructor.
Uh-huh.
And he lives in Ottawa? Alberta. He lives in Alberta, Canada. And he's already had over 250 rounds this year.
Holy mackerel.
And he doesn't get to play for like more than 5 or 6 months a year, right? But he plays 2 rounds of golf every day. At least 2. He'll play 36 holes.
That's a lot of golf.
And he's only been playing 6 years and he's down to a 3.
So you either sink or swim there. You get better or you quit, one or the other.
Exactly. So of all the conversations that are going on these days about how do we bring more people in, there's some outrageous ideas being, the first one comes to mind, like 15-inch hole and, moving the tees up, the play it forward concept. Have you guys done anything or would you consider doing anything that is special to bring bodies in or just...
Yeah, I think we would. And we wholly support the Play It Forward program. Mm-hmm. And we've promoted that probably not as much as we should, but we have promoted it some. I think everybody would have a lot more fun if they played a golf course where they could shoot a good score and was a little
Isn't
bit more user-friendly. I think that's the point.
Yeah.
We got into building golf courses that were 7,000 yards long, and you go out there and don't have much fun and shoot a high score, you're probably not going to come back.
Right.
So we try to promote
Especially
that.
If they're charging you $150 to $200 to do so.
Fees can be high. Yeah, the fees can be high.
Yeah.
We promote it from that avenue. The 12-inch cups, I don't know that we're going that direction. I wouldn't be a fan of that.
Yeah.
I'm still more traditionalist, and I'd like to see other things explored before we go to a 12-inch cup.
Well, just if you play the 15-inch hole or the 12-inch hole, just don't post your score. But, hey, you're going to probably play a lot faster, and you're going to score a lot lower. You're going to make a lot more putts.
Might have less frustration.
Yeah. Yeah, and if it's a way to get people, you know, excited about it, have fun, I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about it. I've heard many conversations. I just don't want it to disrupt normal play. It would have to be a designated time or a day or something. But I don't know how you.
I'm just more traditionalist with the golf, that the history of golf and the challenge of golf, and it, being a golf professional, I like to teach people and get them to play a little bit better. Maybe they'd have a little bit more fun if they played a little bit better.
Always.
I would attack it from that direction. And then the idea, I mean, there was ideas years ago, why shouldn't the average player, and a male average player is somewhere between a 15 and a 20 handicap, why shouldn't he be able to hit the same kind of iron into a hole that one of the stronger players on the tour can hit?
And that was the play it forward idea.
And that's the play it forward idea. And I think everybody would score better and they'd have more fun doing that.
No question. And drop the ego, folks.
Sure.
You know, it's like, I don't have a problem playing the whites. What's the problem? I'm going to have a better score.
Or the reds.
We took
the names off of them. It's not ladies' tee, men's tee.
Exactly.
It's reds, whites, it's forward tees, middle tees.
Yep. But are people taking advantage? Do they understand the concept play it forward? Because I don't know if that name really explains what it is. And we had Barney Adams on, who it was his idea to the people. And we've talked about it and talked about the name and how it doesn't come up with anything. But do you think people are actually, you know, a significant number of your or even a minor number of your customers are taking advantage of that concept?
Well, I think they are. In fact, just before I came over, I met with our nine-hole ladies group, and they're playing a couple of tees that we don't even have tee markers at
now
because they want to play it a little farther forward, and they want to have rounds go a little bit quicker, and they want their higher handicap ladies to enjoy themselves a little bit more. So I think there's instances where we're making it happen.
Good. Well, good luck with that. What I didn't tell you is I have to break for a commercial.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that, but I'm going to include you in it.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. I need to break right now for a spot for Harrys.com, and I need to ask you, are you a blade user or an electric user?
Blade.
Aha! You, my friend, need to check out Harrys.com.
Okay.
Harrys.com. It's these two guys. One of them happens to be my nephew, which is just a coincidence. But the one guy came from this company, Warby Parker, which is kind of disrupting the entire industry of the eyeglass industry. Well, Harrys wanted to do the same thing for shaving. And they have eliminated the middleman. And they have changed pricing. So the worst part of razor blades is, you know, they give you practically the handle for free, but they charge you $4 or $5 for a blade.
Brutal.
And then pack. And that's at Costco.
Right.
Right. And blades are a fortune. Well, with Harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S, Harrys.com, blades are $2. And they're high quality blades. Now, what they did to compete in that market is they found the best blade manufacturer in the world, and they found him in Germany, and they bought the company. And so now they're manufacturing their own, you know, 5 blades in a cartridge, and they're $2 a piece, and they mail them to you. You don't have to go to the store, and you can get the whole package. You can get the handle, blades, and some shave cream for $15.
Wow.
But if you use the checkout code GOLFSMARTER, you can get $5 off your first purchase. And let's have, my nephew Andy was here, and he did a little testimonial about Golf Smarter, but let's hear what he has to say about asking you to go to harrys.com.
Hi, this is Andy Katz Mayfield, co-founder of Harry's. My partner Jeff and I started Harry's because we believe that for guys like us who want a great shave for a fraction of what we're paying now, there has to be an alternative. I invite you to go to harrys.com and see how much money we can save you each year on blades alone. I'd also like to offer you $5 off your first purchase by entering the code GOLFSMARTER when you check out. We've selected Golf Smarter because we believe that Fred has grown an active, loyal community of guys just like us. So please go to harrys.com, that's HARRYS.com, and make sure to enter the code GOLFSMARTER, one word, and get $5 off your first purchase. You won't believe the savings and you won't believe your shave.
So that's it. Steve, I want you to check out harrys.com. You're going to save a fortune.
I'll do it.
You'll be very happy.
I will do it.
With your blades. So to take advantage of that offer, use the code GOLFSMARTER to get $5 off your first purchase. That's harrys.com, HARRYS, and use the promo code GOLFSMARTER. We thank Harry's and Andy very much for the support of the Golf Smarter podcast. All right, let's get into some, let's get into helping the average golfer. And that is what we do here at Golf Smarter. It's like I'm a guy with the right equipment and a bunch of questions, and I want to get my game better. I don't want to talk about what's going on in the tour and how much money they're making or not. I want to improve my weekend. First, okay. I guess the first thing is to move up closer on your tee shot so you can get yourself a short iron versus a hybrid.
Right.
Right. But let's talk about playing Indian Valley and a course that is very hilly and a lot of uneven lies. What would be the first thing that you would remind somebody of to pay attention to when they have to address the fact that the ball is going to be above their feet or below their feet on any hit?
Well, I might even take one step backwards from there and think about how many people play golf that don't have proper equipment. And so you might think about addressing the issue of what's in your bag and how to use what's in your bag. The sand wedge is the most versatile golf club in your bag. If you're not using it to do a lot of your pitching and things around the green, then you're cheating yourself. So you need to learn how to use that. Hybrid clubs, everybody should have a couple of them in their bag.
What clubs should you get rid of so that you can replace your hybrids?
The 3-iron is almost obsolete. Mm-hmm. The 2-irons nobody even makes anymore.
Wow.
So most of the sets start with 4 or maybe even 5-iron. And a 5-iron is got enough loft and a short enough shaft that most people can feel confident enough to get the ball up in the air with a 5-iron. So then you go 4-iron, 3-iron in the hybrid set, and they're built like a fairway would, and they'll launch the ball up in the air, and it'll land softer on the green. And so having proper equipment, even to the point of having the hybrids and having the irons and making sure that you're fitted properly, and you go to your golf professional and you get fit for the proper length and lie and shaft type so that you're getting the best out of your game.
Yeah, I'm such a huge advocate on getting fitted. It makes me crazy when I have friends out there and goes, oh, look, here's my new driver. It's like, oh, did you get fitted? No, I just swung a couple. I took a couple of swings at the golf shop into a net, and it felt good.
Bad move. And they can do a decent fitting at a golf shop where you're using the computerized equipment. I like to see the ball fly. So when you're outdoors and you can see the initial launch angle besides what you're reading on the computer fitting, and you can see the spin rate and you can see the curve of the golf ball, you're going to find out what kind of shaft and whether you need a softer shaft or a lighter shaft or a heavier shaft. Those kind of things can be seen just by looking at the ball flight.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think, like getting fitted then not hitting into a net. I mean, actually seeing the actual ball flight, you can learn a lot more from that than just, I mean, the computers are pretty awesome.
Computers are awesome. The computer can tell you from the initial contact with the golf club, the spin rate, launch angle, and all those kind of things, this ball speed, those kind of things that you're interested in. But from a naked eye, you see the ball launch off of your club face. You see the initial spin rate. Balls that take off and they start low and they rise, you know, there's too much spin on the ball. I'm a field person, and I have a trained eye. So as far as the equipment goes, it's a bonus. I would say it's a bonus, but I like to see the ball fly.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But there's a lot of people who aren't taking advantage of that. Well, they don't have the room.
Well, and if you come to a golf shop or a golf club where you can hit balls and you can see the ball fly, everybody that does the club fittings, I'm included. We have three of us that do club fittings at Indian Valley, mm-hmm. and we can club fit you, and the club fitting doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, that's a huge advantage that people don't realize. It's not going to cost you anything, and you're only going to do better.
Yeah, it's just going to help.
And what are the things that are going to... For me, when I got fitted, one of the first things that started happening is my drives. I got a new driver, and they were going longer, and the dispersion. It wasn't flying to the right. It wasn't flying to the left. Once we made those adjustments, I was just... You know, you put more balls in the fairway, your scores are going to go down.
You're going to have a lot more fun when you're not in the trees every hole.
Yep, yep. And you guys have trees.
Yes. We have trees, and we have fairway bunkers a few, and we have hazards that you can get yourself into. So getting yourself fit for the proper clubs is a big thing.
How do you keep the bunkers in good shape with the drought?
Well, sand traps on the fairways are not going to get as much use as up around the green, so they take a little bit less maintenance. But
sure.
The greenside bunkers, they get maintained on a daily basis, and they get upgrades throughout the year as need be, you know, refilling the sand or re-raking the sand to get them to where they're more playable, because they do get hit with irrigation and they get hit with storms in the wintertime, so you have to do some maintenance.
Yeah, I was up at Foxtail North this past weekend, up in Rohnert Park, and the bunkers were like playing off a hard pan. And it was like, unfortunately, it was like when I played at Paso Tiempo, that was just dried out, rock hard, looking ugly. But the bunkers just were hard, really hard.
Yeah, not very comfortable to hit a sand shot next to a green and not have a great deal of sand in there, but... We do a pretty good job keeping the sand.
What's the cause of that? Why are they just not refilling the sand, or it's just because it's so wet?
Well, economy hits in a lot of different directions.
This is an hour-long conversation. Next week, I'll pick it up right where we left off and start with the best way to play uneven lies. I found this really helpful. Hey, it's time to announce the winner of our inaugural Golf Smarter Welcome Challenge from Game Golf. Congratulations to Frank Miskey of Minnesota for shooting a 76 at the Refuge Golf Course. Now, Frank's average game golf score is 92.4. But of the 15 rounds he played in September and posted in our challenge, his scores ranged from his winning 76 to 106. Actually, he played 36 holes on September 7th and shot the 76. His other round was a 98. Congratulations on a phenomenal round. Frank, you're going to receive a Golf Smarter Divot Repair Tool, the world's greatest repair tool that's available in our Golfer's Mart. But if you're listening, you need to contact me so that I can ship out your prize. Just click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com, get in touch with me, and we'll communicate so I can make sure that it's you. Also want to give a shout out to Barry Foreman of Garden Grove, California, for shooting a 7-under-65. I just love when amateurs can do that. It was the lowest round posted in our competition last month. But the reason he didn't win is because his average score is 71.4. So that man, his differential was only 6.4 to his normal game versus Frank's 76 was 16.4 under his regular score. Now, Barry, not to downplay your fabulous score, but considering your skill level, I'm really not surprised that you shot that low, since the course you were playing, the back tees, the slope is 118. Oh, that course is good for the ego. Whenever you're playing poorly, go there. Now, I'm not going to announce another challenge yet, because I've asked the game golf engineers to devise a method that will not favor the better players like we did for Barry. Because it's just not fair. That's why golf has a handicap, right? You want to level the playing field so that those who have a great round can get recognized. So once that happens, we'll put out some more challenges. But remember, Golf Smarter is the only place that you can take advantage of an additional 10% off the newly lowered price of $199. $199, and use that checkout code GOLFSMARTER to get that additional discount. You only have till November 1st to get the discount, and to get there, you have to click on the Game Golf ad on the homepage at GOLFSMARTER.com. I may have said something I may not have, but I'm going to say it anyway. Here's what Game Golf has done to my game, right? When I first received it, my index was 13.5. I've been hovering around that number in the 13s and 12s. My best was 11.9 for a number of years. But in the 10 months that I've had Game Golf and been studying my stats and realizing what my problem was and reducing and fixing what was going wrong with my game, on October 1st, my index was 9.6. That's a huge drop in a pretty short amount of time for someone who doesn't practice all that much. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.